St. John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27.
When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home.
Now, first thing, Jesus Christ asked forgiveness for those people. And then when the thief on the cross heard when Jesus Christ says, Father, forgive them, that same thief did so many blasphemy. But he realized that Jesus Christ forgave him. When Jesus Christ forgave him, that's the time he thought, I should ask him that when he comes in his kingdom, can he remember me? When he said to this thief, Today you'll be with me in paradise. He never asked him to take me to paradise. He heard about him that he is the Messiah, he is the King, and he will start his kingdom, and he is able to forgive others, so he can forgive me. So he asked the forgiveness. I am a thief, I am a robber, I said blasphemy to you, so I realize that I'm a sinner, but I want to be with you when you come back in your kingdom. And he says, Today you'll be with me in paradise. So he gave him assurance. And I thought his mother was standing there and thinking. He told everybody God should forgive them. He even forgave that thief, and he says, You'll be with me in paradise. How about me? I'm the one gave him birth. And I am standing here, and he just ignored me. Sometimes people feel in their spirit that they are left, means nobody care about them. Mary might be thinking the same way. Why my son didn't remember me? Why he forgotten me? But Jesus Christ, before people can say anything, he said, this is what you're thinking. So I believe that Jesus recognized and realized that his mother might be feeling sorry. She was crying. There are other ladies were crying. And so third time means when he talked to the thief, and then he says to his mother, he didn't say even mother, woman, behold thy son. Now, somebody would say, Jesus Christ was not giving any respect for his mother. But that's not my subject. I just want to say, Jesus Christ said to her, Behold thy son. He didn't say even John, and he did not even say to her, Mother, mother. The reason I was thinking, if he would have called her mother, many times before that also, if you remember, when the grape juice was finished and the wine was finished and she came to ask him, that's the time also he didn't say, Oh mother, please don't tell me, my time has not come. There also he said, Woman. I was thinking, even though he did not call her mother, still people worship the Mary. So at that time, Jesus Christ was concerned about her, and he says, Behold thy son. He could not point his hand. He could not say who your son is. But I believe that John was standing beside her. And Mary had other children, but not a single child was with her. They did not come to see even crucifixion, because John chapter 7, see about his brothers, they were very angry at him. They wanted to persecute Jesus. They wanted Jesus Christ to die. They didn't want Jesus Christ to be glorified. One time they said, why don't you go to festival? Are you hiding yourself because somebody will kill you? Why don't you go and show yourself? Because you want to make your name be glorifying. Why don't you go and do it? And the word of God says, why they said? Because they hate him. The word of God says in St. John chapter 1 verse 11, he came to his own and his own received him not. So at that particular time, Mary's children, they were not born again. They were not saved. They hated Jesus Christ. Mother loves him. They might be saying, he is not here. When 30 years old, he left. He didn't take care of you. And so Jesus Christ was saying, this is your son. And John understood that he is giving this responsibility to me, because John was the beloved disciple of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ gave the responsibility to John. And the word of God says, right away, that same hour, he took Mary to his house. So Jesus Christ knew that John was the youngest disciple. So Peter and other disciples, they were old, and Mary was still young, and who will take care of her? So the John was the youngest one, so he could take care until Mary dies. So he chosen the young one to take care of his mother. So Jesus Christ, even though he was dying on the cross, so much pain, so much suffering, but he did not forget his mother. Some of the children, they tried to slap the mother, tried to abuse the mother, kill the mother and father, take their money and have a good time. Other day I saw the mother and father were killed and their dead body was on the floor and all the teenagers were having party in the same room. I was thinking how cruel these people are. The mother and father took care of them and got a lot of money for them. Now they don't need mother and father, they want their money. And this is what the people are doing it. But the Jesus Christ suffering on the cross, he didn't have even strength to talk, but he understood that Mary is burning in her heart. My son have forgotten me, and now my children, they don't like me. Only my beloved son was Jesus. Now he's going, who will take care of me? But Jesus Christ told the mother, this is your son. And John, he says, behold, this is your mother. John might have his mother and father, but when Jesus Christ gave the responsibility, John didn't say, I have my own mother, I have my own father, how can I take care of your mother? But Jesus, as soon as he said, Jesus' disciple John was very obedient and very loving and kind. He said, okay, I'll take care of her. And he took care of her right away. John took the responsibility. I believe that mother might be thinking, thank God, my son finally remember me. And so that burden was over. But Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, thinking about others, so he forgave the enemies. He even took care of this thief on the cross. Now he took care of his mother. At that time, what happened? All the sin of the whole world was laid on him. All the care of the world means he took care of mom, he took care of this thief, he took care of the whole world who were accusing him, spitting on him, pulling his beard and doing all kinds of evil things and blasphemy. and did not understand the Christ coming into this world, and he forgave them according to the 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. Please read.
For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Word of God says, God took your sin and my sin and laid it on Jesus Christ on the cross. He did not commit sin. He did not do any wrongdoing. But your sin and my sin was laid on Jesus Christ, and that was the heaviest burden he was carrying. But at the same time, the Word of God says God hates sin. So once Jesus Christ became sin, God turned his face away from Christ. That was a lot of pain and suffering. They put the nail, he didn't say anything. In Isaiah chapter 53, he never opened his mouth. He did not curse anybody. He did not shout. He just took all the pain. But when Father turned his face away, that's the time. Read that in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46.
And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Now here he says, my God, why you have forsaken me? The Bible says, Jesus Christ was with his Father from the beginning. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are from the beginning. And they were never, never separated. They were always together. Even the Jesus Christ came from heaven and came on earth, still he was with his Father. Somebody might have said, okay, he left this heaven and he came to the earth. Now he was separated. No, he was not separated. He was with God all the time. I'll give you one example and then you'll know. Read the St. John chapter 3, verse 13.
And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven.
Now here is saying Jesus to Nicodemus. No man went to heaven or no man came from heaven, but only Son of Man came from heaven. And if you notice what he says, where is the Son of Man? Which is in heaven. He did not say which was in heaven. He said which is in heaven. That means I am talking to you right now, but at the same time I am with my Father. Somebody will say, how come? You live in the earth, how can you live in heaven at the same time? Read the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. If it is possible for Jesus Christ, it can be possible for you and me also.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
See, we are lifted up to heaven, and right now we are sitting at the right hand of Jesus Christ. So that means we can be staying on this earth, and at the same time we can be in heaven. The same way Jesus Christ talking to Nicodemus, and he's saying, you know what? You're thinking I'm with you right now, but at the same time, I am with my Father in heaven. The point I'm making here, there was no separation, Father and Son, anytime. He told the people, my Father and I, we are one. No one was able to separate Jesus Christ from his Father. But the Word of God says when the sin was laid on him, there was a separation. And that's why sin can take you to hell. Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, and when the sin was laid on him, Father left him. So he felt lonely. Without Father, our life is in hell. There was a once man, he was a Hindu, became a Christian, and he was a singer and writer. He said, Lord, even though I go to hell, and if you are with me in a hell, I have no problem to going to hell. Will you be with me in hell? What is the point? If God is with you, you will not feel hell. But if you miss the God, you will feel hell. Because we are right now, we are walking in death. Each and every person who doesn't have God, they are thinking they have money, they have fame, they have family, they have everything. But if you ask deep down, there is some kind of vacuum. There's something missing. And the people do not have peace. Only Jesus Christ gives peace. Only Jesus Christ gives eternal life. Without Jesus Christ, our life is miserable. We are walking in death, or you are spiritually dead. Jesus Christ says, let the dead bury dead, you follow me. How the dead people can bury dead? The point Jesus Christ was saying, the people who do not follow me, they are already dead. So each and every person living in this world, if they do not have Christ, if they do not have God, they are living in hell. They don't see it right now, but they are already signed to go to hell. Not a single person can say, without Jesus, I can make it to heaven. No one can make it to heaven without Jesus Christ. Each and every person born into this world, they are going to go to hell. Somebody will say, what is their crime? The Word of God says, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, what it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means each and every person who is born into this world, they are born in sin. Why? Because of Adam's sin. Because of Adamic sin, the death is hanging on us. But now that death was hanging on us, that death was putting on Christ. When Jesus Christ took all your sin and my sin, he felt that he is dying without God, or he is in hell. So that separation was so much for him. That's why he says, my God, why thou have forsaken me? Why you have forsaken me? Jesus knew that. Why he's saying so you and me can understand why Jesus Christ said this. He's saying, because of your sin, I had separation from my Father. But if you give your life to Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ dying on the cross is worth it. If you remember following verse, he says, I thirst. I thought, why when he says, my God, why you have forsaken me? And all of a sudden after that, he says, I thirst. Why? Because he was burning in a hell because of separation from God. He felt that he's burning. Once God is out of your life, you are dead. That's why we need God in our life. So what happened? Jesus Christ experienced the penalty of sin, a death, but he was conqueror. He conquered your sin, sickness, disease, and death on the cross. You see, he says, I thirst, because he was burning like a heat in hell. But because of our sin, he took all the punishments, all the hell experience on the cross. He was not thirsting for water, he was thirsting for you and for me. Samaritan lady asked the water, and if he really, really wanted the water, he would have taken the water. But if you read the whole story, the lady didn't give water to Jesus. She left this everything and she went and bought more other people to see Jesus. Meantime, his disciple came and bought the food for him. You have to read that story in St. John chapter 4. So when they bought the food and they said, Master, come on, let's eat and have a lunch. He said, I have a better food than what you're giving. They thought maybe that lady got a food. Who gave him a food? We went there and he got a food. They didn't understand. He says, my food is doing the Lord's work. My Father's work doing is my food. And that was his thirst also. So when the people start coming and all the whole Samaritan city coming, and they look like all white clothes. So he said, look, the harvest is ready. Those people are coming. We have to do the harvest. We have to give them the spiritual food. We have to give them the spiritual drink. These people are hungry and thirsty for God. That's why they are coming. And they said to Jesus, you know what? This lady told us maybe not even 50%. But now we know that you are the Messiah. You are the Christ. Could you come to our village? Could you come to our town? And Jesus went with them and stayed there a couple of days. The point I'm making, Jesus Christ on the cross, even though he felt that he is dying and he needed water, and they gave him something to drink. What they were giving? They were giving some kind of medicine so you would not feel pain. But he didn't take it because he was not looking for pain medication. He was looking for somebody can understand. He is talking about souls. He is thirsty about me. And that's the way Jesus Christ was asking. I need water. I am thirsty. In heaven, we don't have thirst. We don't need water. But still Jesus Christ says, I will give the fountain of living water. And there are some fruits are kept. Even though you are not hungry, you are not thirsty, but there is food available, there is drink available. And we will be not hungry and thirsty because Jesus Christ already quenched our thirst. Verse 6. Then the last one is verse 7. Please read that in Luke chapter 23, verse 46. Okay, please read.
And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost.
Christ said, it is finished. He gave his ghost and he died. Jesus did not want to die until he finished his work. And he complete his work of salvation. That's the reason he came, to give us salvation, give us the eternal life. And he did it because the word of God says, I'm going to send my word, and that word will complete the work, and then he will not return to me void. So Jesus Christ wanted to go to his Father to show him that whatever you told me to do, I did it. And it was not easy, but he did it. So here he says, after this everything, he said, now I finish my job. Now what is saying? I am giving my spirit into Father's hand. Last week we were studying Isaiah chapter 27 and 28. We learned that these Israeli people, they made a commitment with the death, and they made a commitment with the hell. That means they sold out to the hell and death. They didn't care about God. They didn't care about the God's teaching. They didn't care what is the plan of God for them. They wanted to die and go to hell. So people think when we go to hell, all our problem will be over. But they don't know we do not have authority over our life. Our life is belong to God. God has created us and He breathed on us and we became a living soul. So our life is not ours. And as a Christian, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, if you read, he says, Jesus Christ has purchased you with his own blood, and now you're not yours, you belong to God. That means you cannot say, this is my life, I can do anything, nobody can tell me what to do. Every life is a life of God. God has given to us this precious life. So we cannot give our life to the devil, but the people are selling their life to the devil, and devil becomes their God. And what the devil does, St. John chapter 10, verse 10, devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That means if you give your life to devil, he will take you to hell. So what God is saying, what Jesus Christ is saying to you and me, your life and my life is not ours. It belongs to God. So he says, Father, you send me into this world. When you read the first words, he said, Father, forgive them. All those people who were listening, when he said, God is my Father, they said, you are blaspheming. And that's why they wanted to kill him. But on the cross, he's telling, Father, forgive them. So he says, Father. And then, my God, why they have forsaken me? Those people are listening. He says, he called God Father. And then he's calling God his God. Jesus Christ came into this world to tell us everything about God. Nobody knew God. St. John chapter 1, verse 18, he says, no man hath seen God any time, but Jesus Christ, who was only begotten Son, he revealed us who God is. That means we didn't know who God was. When Jesus Christ came and he said, I came from my Father and I am his Son, they said, this is blasphemy, kill him. But he was telling the truth. We are all the children of God. But he said to those people, you are the children of the devil. St. John chapter 8, verse 44. Your father is a devil. He's a murderer. He's a killer. He's a destroyer. And that's what you're doing it. So we have to realize our Father is God. God has created us, and God has put us in this earth for His glory. Why mankind is created? The angels were created, angels were praising God, but the leader of praising God, the leader, fell. So now they said, oh, nobody will praise God. God said, I'm going to create a man so they can worship me. So we are created to worship God and thank God and praise God. That's why when the angel made a mistake or sin, God did not send his Son to die for angels, but he sent his Son to die for you and for me. So our life is precious in the sight of God. So Jesus Christ is saying, I came from my Father. Father sent me here to redeem you and save you and take you to heaven, but you didn't understand. I accomplished my work. I pleased my Father. The Word of God says He was the Lamb of God. and he was the Passover lamb. And when he died on the cross, his sacrifice, sweet aroma came to God, and God was well pleased. Abraham gave his son, and he wanted to sacrifice his son, but God did not allow him. He said, wait, I know you love me. And he showed him the lamb. But God the Father did not spare his son. Romans chapter 8, he says, he did not spare his son. He gave his son for you and for me. He gave his only begotten son. God loves us more than his son. He gave his son for us. And son, what he did, when he gave his son for mankind, son was like a seed sowing into this world. Jesus Christ is called the seed of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 says, the seed which is Jesus Christ and come into your heart, that will make you born again. Means it gives you new life. So the Jesus Christ was the seed of God. And when he's sown, you know, the wheat has to die and put it in ground and die, and then it will bring the fruits. So Jesus Christ died as the Son of God, and he was buried, and that seed came out of the grave, and now he made so many sons for God. Now, because of Jesus Christ, we became the sons of God. How? St. John chapter 1 verse 12, what he says, as many as received him, to them he gave the authority, the power to be called the sons of God. Jesus Christ now is our older brother. And whatever Jesus Christ has is all belong to us. That's why Jesus Christ came into this world, to make you and me the children of God. So what he said, I made you the children of God if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't lose your life. Don't sell your life to devil. Don't go to hell. I came from heaven. I gave my life to God. Same way, we have to give our life to Jesus Christ or God the Father. You know what? Jesus Christ gave his life in the Father's hand. Book of Romans chapter 8, if you read from verse 9 and 10, please read. Read up to 11.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you.
Did you understand what he's saying? Jesus Christ gave his Spirit into Father's hand. If he didn't give, then God cannot raise him. He says the Spirit, what Jesus had, that Spirit, he gave it to God, and God raised that Spirit, and Jesus came to life. So he said, if you have his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, then if you die, you will be also raised the way Jesus Christ was risen. So the Spirit of Christ can raise you. He says, I give my Spirit into your hands, but he passed the test, finished the course, finish everything and said, you gave me this life, means Jesus Christ was the Son of God from the beginning. But when he came into this world, he said, you have prepared a body for me. And he took a form of man. And the St. John chapter 1 verse 14, he says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So God put this seed of God or the word of God, Mary's womb. You know what Mary says? Let it be according to your word. As soon as she said, let it be according to your word, the word became flesh. Jesus Christ suffered for us, gave his life for us. He pleased God. The word of God says, he never in this world any time disobeyed God. Even the time of death, he said, I give my spirit into your hand. And that's the way he ended his life. And he said to Pilate, you have no authority over me, because I give my life and I can take it again. So where did he give his life? He gave it to the Father, so Father can keep it until the time of resurrection and then put his spirit in his dead body and raise him again. And that gave us hope. He said, the same spirit Christ has, and I raised him, the same spirit if you have, you will be resurrected. Okay?